Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show them wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Edith. You read that absolutely beautiful, and there's some words in there that I wouldn't fancy. Good job. Hi, everybody. Today we are continuing our sermon series on the Acts of the Apostles as we learn more about what we can learn from the early church. Last week, actually, I wasn't very well, so I wasn't with you. So I was listening on YouTube, thanks to Terry and Stuart in the box, live streaming our service. But there was a couple of things that Keith said that really stood out to me, things that I'd like us to keep on actually pondering this morning. Firstly, Keith said that the Holy Spirit is looking for a people to land on. And secondly, that the early church waited on God, but Keith felt that he got the impression that sometimes God is waiting on us. And so last week, as I listened, a picture came to my mind. Now, on the 30th of September here in this church, we had a wonderful celebration, didn't we? A marriage in the sight of God between Emily Burr and Charlie Dutson. And it was such a blessing. I wonder what your favourite part of a wedding is. Maybe when you see the bride's dress or the music or the vows. Well, for me, my favourite part of a wedding, aside from the rich liturgy, is that moment when the groom turns round and sees his bride for the first time in all her beauty. I'm getting a couple of smiles, so there's some others that like that as well. And Emily, bless her, looked absolutely beautiful. That moment when the groom turns round and sees his bride for the first time never ceases to bring a tear to my eye and just warms my heart. And no doubt I'll have to invest in some tissues next year when my daughter walks up this aisle herself. So buy shares and Kleenex because they're going up. And so as Keith spoke last week, those words, I had a picture of a groom standing at the aisle waiting for his bride. The groom's face was glowing. It was absolutely shining with anticipation, adoration, and expectation. You could just feel it beaming off him as he waited for his loved one, the bride. Many of you will know that the bride of Christ is referred to us in the Bible as God's people. But as I saw this picture, I could feel this intense longing growing. And I heard the words, where is my bride? And then at the same time as seeing this picture, I was taken back to an experience with Holy Spirit that I had in Israel. I think it was probably around 5 years ago now. It's a region we really need to be praying for. It was when Keith and I went to the Western Wall, some call it the Wailing Wall, for the first time. And what actually happened, I don't entirely understand. But as I approached that place of prayer, I began to speak powerfully in tongues and with increasing intensity. Then I saw a series of pictures vividly in succession that seemed to depict from the beginning to the end of time, follow what I can only describe as, I'm sorry, like giving birth but without the pain, that urge, that push. The sensation was almost unbearable, and I heard these words quietly at first, then getting louder and louder. I will pour out upon my land. I will pour out upon my land. I will pour out upon my land. And the words had such force to them that at the time I thought to myself, I will never be the same again, because I had experienced in a small part the depth of God's desire to be united with his people, with his children, through an outpouring of Holy Spirit. And so as I joined you last week in my front room as the band played, that picture of the groom standing, waiting and longing, came together with that intense feeling I had experienced in Jerusalem of Holy Spirit yearning to move in power. But in the picture, as I was looking, I began to think, but where is the bride? And I had this excitement growing within me the more I looked at his face. And then I heard the words, she's distracted. And I just began to weep. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, especially right now in this season of where the church is. He has so much more for us in this place. And the extent to which he will move in power is not based on whether he can be bothered to turn up. It's whether we are willing to make room for him. But not just here, beyond these walls. I just believe Jesus is longing, yearning, and dare I say, desperate to move in power. So let's look at the early church and think about the impact, actually, the Holy Spirit had. The early church waited and they weren't distracted. In fact, they were completely focused on Jesus' promise of Holy Spirit. And remember, when the Holy Spirit came, he came in power. So let's just think about a few things that will help us understand the implications of this and a little bit about the context, a little bit of the background. So Jewish men were required by law to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year to celebrate the major Jewish festivals. Firstly, Passover in the spring. Then 50 days later came what the Jews called the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Weeks. This was the first of 2 harvests in the year, which we call Pentecost. That's because the word Pentecost means 50th, indicating it fell 50 days after Passover, by which time 7 weeks of harvest had been gathered. This harvest was the harvest of the first fruits, like the first buds, they call it. Finally, there came the Feast of Tabernacles at the end of the second harvest in the autumn. So Pentecost was a well-established Jewish festival going back many years before what Christians think of as Pentecost. But it was also a time when they remembered that God had given them the Jewish law on Mount Sinai, including the Ten Commandments. But this particular Pentecost in Acts that we're thinking of today is different because it was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, 10 days after the ascension. So it was a really significant time with lots of symbolism. And we often see that God works in that way. We see, as we look back over history, we see that the Old Testament and the New Testament are connected. So it was no coincidence that Holy Spirit was moving in power on that day. The Old Covenant had been characterized by the people keeping the law, but the New Covenant was to be characterized by receiving Holy Spirit. Again, those who are to become Christians were to be the spiritual first fruits of a harvest of millions of souls. You see the connection between the old and the new. And there's more. Earlier, we read how the Jewish people, along with others gathered in the house of Jerusalem, heard a sudden violent wind blowing. You might remember how in the Old Testament, in the days of the prophet Ezekiel, God sent a mighty wind upon the bones of a dead army, which then came to life. Now, here at Pentecost, God is sending a spiritual wind upon the followers of Jesus and bringing them spiritually alive. And he can do the same for us. When they first saw the fire, it separated and went upon each individual person and was described as tongues of fire. And, you know, John the Baptist predicted this. We read in Matthew 3:11 that John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire." So this was the moment that the prophecy came into fruition, was fulfilled. Fire was the sign of God's presence. God had appeared before Moses in flames of fire within a bush. Again, when the Jews fled from the bondage of Egypt, God went before them in a pillar of fire, showing them the way. The fire also represented something else. On Mount Sinai, God confirmed the validity of the Old Testament law with fire from heaven. Here at Pentecost, he confirmed the validity of Holy Spirit's ministry, sending them on what seemed like fire upon the church. On Mount Sinai, fire came down on one place, but at Pentecost, fire came down on many, many gathered believers, and now is available to anyone who believes. No longer was the Holy Spirit a scene in the Old Testament largely reserved to spiritual or political or spiritual or national leaders of Israel. Under the new covenant, the authority of the Spirit was for all believers, all who came under the new covenant. You see, the fire symbolizes God's purifying presence, which burns away all those things in us that are not quite right, that are not of him. He sets our heart aflame and it turns to others and ignites them as we share his word. Fire gives heat, and now even when we pray for people, you speak to members of the ministry team, people start to feel warm, they feel that heat, and it's a sign that Holy Spirit is ministering to them. Yet there's more, even more symbolism with Pentecost. We read how the disciples spoke in other tongues, that is, literally spoke in other languages, as an international crowd listened. And Jerusalem would have been absolutely crowded with and crammed with pilgrims. So this miracle really grabbed their attention as they saw the presence and power of Holy Spirit and actually heard praises in their own native tongue. These various symbols really symbolised the communication of the gospel that was going to go forward. When Peter gave his speech to that same international audience, many of them became Christians, the first fruit of a worldwide harvest of believers. But whatever it looked like, we noticed something, that everyone was filled. From that day forward, their lives were changed. They had the power of the risen Lord within them. Their fears and doubts went. From that day, they spoke with the authority that comes from being filled with Holy Spirit. They even healed through Holy Spirit. And everything they did, they realized that Holy Spirit was in control. So it was that early church that was empowered by Holy Spirit. So how can we encourage ourselves here at Good Shepherd by looking at the early church and the impact the Holy Spirit had on their lives? One moment. Well, the first thing the Holy Spirit does is he gives us the power to become the person God has called us to be. And this change could be seen in no less than the Apostle Peter himself. Peter had been a kind of unstable leader during Jesus' ministry, even denying Jesus 3 times. Sometimes his pride was his downfall, but the power of the Holy Spirit within him made him the man he was called to be. He grew to be truly humble and yet a very bold man. This because his confidence was no longer in his own abilities, but in the Holy Spirit power that had made him a dynamic speaker. As we heard today, he got up and spoke the word of God to the crowd, quoting the book of prophet Joel. So he spoke words of truth and freedom that in turn led to many being saved. How about you and me today? Do we think our past our weaknesses, our failures disqualify ourselves from God's calling. Peter had previously denied Christ 3 times. Do we struggle to share about God to those around us because we're fearful and not really sure what to say? Let's just invite Holy Spirit in today afresh, that he may sort of break us free from the chains of the past. Let's invite Holy Spirit in, that we may become the men and women of God that he has called us to be, humble and bold like Peter. And I think we've got no idea of the impact it would have on our society if we were actually to put Holy Spirit in control of our lives. It's a challenge, isn't it? Secondly, with the power, and the power of Holy Spirit fills us, we have the power to share the gospel. We read that when Peter got up to speak, he quoted Joel. Under the old covenant at Pentecost, the Jews were actually honouring the word of God given to them on Mount Sinai and thanking him for the harvest. Under the new covenant, these two combined heart attitudes with the power of the Holy Spirit meant that the word of God came alive and would bring freedom to many people. Peter said that this empowerment by Holy Spirit would take place in what he called the last days, meaning from when Jesus first came to his second coming. And during this time, God would pour out his Spirit on all believers, whether young or old, male or female, Jews or Gentiles. And this resulted in the birth of church and the Spirit moving in power shortly after Peter's sermon, as 3,000 people were saved. My goodness, if that happens here, praise God. What would we do? It's a good problem to have. And it resulted in the early church. But what we notice is that they were intentional in relying on God's Holy Spirit. And it was evident by their prayer life. This infilling by Holy Spirit was a constant thing. We read in Acts a bit later, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Praying, filling, outreach. Praying, filling, outreach. You know, there's lots of programs and some very good ones you can learn how to evangelize on. But Holy Spirit program is the best. Sometimes, you know, we can overcomplicate things and use programs and sort of schemes to give us direction and find security in, but Holy Spirit actually keeps it really simple and just requires us to solely rely on him, which I admit can be very scary, but a good thing to do. Through Holy Spirit, we have the power to become the person that God has called us. We have the power to share the gospel, and through Holy Spirit, we have the power to establish God's kingdom here on earth as in heaven. We read in Genesis how the people in the world spoke one language but became proud and built a tower in honour of themselves and their own achievements, the Tower of Babel. They started to worship their own abilities and rely on their own achievements, and they became their own little gods. They really had no idea of the danger they were in, and God raised the tower to the ground and scattered them. From then on, they spoke in different languages, which is where we get the name Babel from. But at Pentecost, Holy Spirit was doing a work of actual restoration and was reversing what had gone before due to people's sin. In New Testament times, there were Jews scattered about in many different nations. Many of the Jews would come back to Jerusalem to celebrate the main Jewish festivals. Therefore, when the disciples got up and spoke in other languages, the languages that they could understand, speaking in a way that they could understand, they heard in amazement. And the Holy Spirit did his work. And so lastly, the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to overcome. We can draw, I think, a comparison between many Christians now and the situation that those first believers were actually in. The gospel would need to be spread in a hostile environment of persecution, idolatry and political oppression. Even in this country, actually, preaching in the word of God has become quite an offence, and in some places it's really hard to share the good news. Yet Holy Spirit gave them the strength that they needed to overcome that hostility, and he can do the same for us today, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our workplace, or whether it's in our communities. He can give us the words to say, the wisdom when to be silent, and prompt us into actions that demonstrate God's unending love for people. I began by saying there were two things that Keith said that really stood out for me this last week. The Holy Spirit is looking for a people to land on. And the early church waited on God, but it feels that sometimes that we get the impression that God is waiting on us. This means that the Holy Spirit is looking and God is waiting. But for us, we have to play our part to be hungry and thirsty for him, not to be distracted, but putting him first and seeking him in our daily lives as individuals and together as the body of Christ. Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles, and he also recorded these amazing words of Jesus. So let me end by quoting Jesus himself, which is a good way. As Jesus said, which of your fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Just as the early church was willing to wait to receive Holy Spirit outpouring, let's wait for a short while as Holy Spirit ministers to us.